This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This video is brought to you by Xero, business accounting software that has all the time-saving tools you need to grow your business. Import bank transactions, send invoice reminders, pay your staff, and drive profitability through Xero projects. Whether in the office or on the go using the easy-to-use mobile app, you can run your business with ease, even if you don't have much of an accounting background, like me. Xero also allows you to invite your own accountants and bookkeepers to help you meet all your tax obligations for that extra feel of security. By signing up using the specific link in the description, you will receive 50% off your first 3 months. Quick and easy to set up, cancel at any time, with free 24-hour support, add as many users as you wish, and with no hidden fees, there's no excuse you shouldn't sign up for Xero today. Over 3.7 million people already trust Xero with all their accounting needs. So remember, that's 50% off your first 3 months. Quick and easy to use accounting and round the clock customer assistance. That's Xero with an X. Link is in the description.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast. You're joined with me, Jamie Lawler, and we've got these two lovely gentlemen in Sam Sheppey and Josh Fletch. How are we doing, boys?
Yeah, really good, thank you. A bit of a boring time in the international break going on, but I'm sure we've got plenty to speak about still.
Yeah, all good. Anything major happen in the week, boys, or are we all good?
Oh, good,
sir. Yeah, starting my uni induction next week because I'm going off to do a master's at St. Mary's. So, getting all ready for that. So, that's something good to look forward to.
That'll be good. Be good. Right, well, let's crack on with the joys of an international break, lads. Let's talk about the joys of the Millwall game and having Rowett back at the wonderful stadium of St. Andrews. So, how did we feel the game went then, lads? I'll open it to you first, Sam.
The game was really a game of two halves, wasn't it? The first half, really slow off the mark, you know, letting Mill get that goal a few minutes in, Kevin Nisbet scoring a free kick. And I mean, I said it to my dad before the game, you knew that he was going to score, someone that we've been linked with in the past. I think I mentioned it to Tommy in the Roos before the game that he was going to score, and you just, you know, knew it was going to happen. And really bad start. And then obviously a disallowed goal as well, went 2-0 down. But then, yeah, the Lino decided to raise his flag like a minute after the goal was scored, which is a bit of a lucky break considering, you know, we haven't really had these decisions go in our favour in the past. But, got his decision go for us. And second half, we done a lot better. And Stansfield scoring his second goal of the season already with a real tidy finish. And there's plenty of positives to build from in that game. You know, still undefeated, a point on the board and going into the international break, fourth in the table.
Stunning. And you, Josh, what did you think?
Yeah, as Sam said, tale of two halves, really. First half was the Blues that we're kind of used to, where when we have the ball, we don't really know what to do with it. Went 1-0 down. I mean, it was upsetting from Ruddy, really, because he doesn't really make those kind of mistakes. Unfortunate. And then, obviously, couldn't really get back into it. But second half, turned it around and was more the Blues we're used to this season. A lot quicker on the ball. And as Sam said, a very cultured finish by Stansfield, who's looking like a great signing.
100%. I fully back that. Worst half of football I've seen from us this season. I think first half, lads, just couldn't couldn't pass anywhere. Like, the amount of times we tried to switch the play, went straight out of play, like, nothing. And we all knew it, lads. The moment we went 1-0 down to a Gary Rowett team, we dealt with him for long enough to know what was going to happen. I mean, I saw a corner kick get time wasted for at least a minute in the 30th, and I was like, are you joking, mate? Is this actually...
It's like watching the Blues of old, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful. It's like watching the old time. It was painful. Like, and it was just long ball and it was working, and that Cooper just had the beating of Hogan every time. Understandably, that Cooper's, what, 6'6"? He's massive. Like, so it was one of them. Second half, I agree with you, as we came out a better team, and I think we need to, you know, just cover Stansfield in whatever cotton wool we can and keep that man as fit as we can this season, because he is an absolute literally player. I think, shout out to Anderson, had a good game, I thought, as well. I was screaming for Bakuna to come off at the end of the first half. I thought he lost the ball a few times, and I was proved very wrong when he got an assist and played really well second half. So, this is why I'm not a football manager. We learn.
Yeah, just to mention on Anderson as well, like, he completely run himself into the ground, didn't he? I think that's all we asked for as Blues fans, you know, players that give 100%. And you saw sort of towards the end that he was down on the floor, you know, he just about got up to see out the 5 minutes that he was on for until he got brought off for Manuel Angelo. And yeah, he ran himself into the ground, didn't he? And I just think people like that, the Blues fans are immediately going to take to, because we ask for maximum effort, you know, the minimum requirement, maximum effort. So he's someone that, yeah, does typify that statement, and good on him as well. You know, a free transfer, our sort of player, really.
100%. What I did want to ask you is how did we find Dremmer on his debut? Obviously, losing Laird was always terrifying. Bakuna's done great, but how was it actually having an actual right back again? Did he have a good game? Did you think he wasn't great?
You could tell he was a little bit rusty, I think. A little bit rusty. Like, it's one of them ones where I think his final game for Leeds, and like, since he got sort of taken on loan by us, he actually got brought off at half-time. So he's sort of coming off the back of that performance. Maybe that was playing in his head a little bit. But I would say he had a solid game. There was a couple of moments where, you know, he gave the ball away. I think I remember a time in the first half where he played one of the Millwall players through on goal, and I was like, oh my God, what have we got here? But yeah, he done well, actually. He sort of settled into the game the more it went on, and considering, you know, he's a 21-year-old, still very young, I think it's 21. A positive signing and good. Yeah, he's only 21, so he's like a brilliant cover, I think, for Laird. Obviously, when Laird comes back, he'll be the first choice. But someone with Championship experience, he's played at Cardiff, got promoted last season with Luton, so I'd still say he's a good signing and, yeah, someone to look out for in the future.
And you, Josh, what did you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'd say he definitely grew into the game. As Sam said, that was that one moment where I think we had a throw-in and we just threw it to him, and I think he was trying to kick it back to Long and literally went straight to Nesbitt, and I was like, oh my God, what have we signed here? But he grew into the game, and I think it's really important to remember that he's on loan as well. So we've got him for now. And if it turns out that he's not the quality, we don't have to sign him. I think that's really good that we've done. I think with the other centre-back as well, that Iwu, him on loan, we can buy him at any time during the season. So I think it puts us in good stead there, that if he doesn't have to be the player we want, then we can just send him back to his club. I think he'll grow into it. As I said, Laird is definitely going to be the number one option when he comes back, but he's a good... I don't want to call him a stopgap for now until Laird comes back, but I think he gives good competition to Laird. So, yeah.
I think so. I think one thing we've majorly struggled with, I think, personally, over the years, squad depth and Christmas period. When you're getting 3 games in 7 days, and it, you know, even Laird, you've seen the way he plays, lads, and Buchanan the same. Like, they are back and forth for 90 minutes. You know, there is no way you can play 270 minutes consistently at that pace. So it's going to be good to have them options to bring on and off.
That's exactly it. We've got options now, haven't we, on both sides? And yeah, shout out to Buchanan as well for the game against Mill. I personally thought he was man of the match. Literally didn't put a foot wrong. Like, you can tell he's a Blues player through and through, and he just got stuck in and yeah, worked really hard for the team. And he was offering, you know, options going forward as well as back. And as you said there, Jamie, it's sort of someone that goes back and forth and real energy and vibrance and youth to the team. Something we've been crying out for ages.
It's been a while since I've had especially a left back at Blues, where I can watch a player running at him and I am so confident in myself, go, ah, Buchanan's got this. Well, he's got it, he's fit, he'll take him down, like, oh, he's got the ball, there you go. And I'm like, oh, we've got someone who actually knows how to defend. This is nice.
Barely committed a foul in the game as well. Yeah, like, really sort of clean tackler. It wasn't one of them ones where, you know, someone skinned him and he's had to bring him down for a yellow card. Just a tidy player.
I think so. I think definitely. One talking point I did want to talk about, interestingly, is... He came on, obviously, he got some abuse from the fans, Wes Harding. I thought he had a great game for Millwall, annoyingly. I think he dealt with Hogan quite well. But I also, personal opinion is he should have been sent off in the second half of that. That was a high tackle on Hogan. I don't know where you stand on it, but I think it was awful.
Yeah, it was a risky challenge to make, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we've had the Lukas Djukovic sending off against Cardiff. And I think if that's a red card, then we've got to look at Harding's as a red card as well. The fact we haven't actually appealed the Lukas Djukovic one either, I think kind of speaks volumes about, yeah, it probably was a red card. So, I mean, if Duke's getting sent off for that, then I think Harding's got to get sent off as well.
I mean, it could have, I mean, that is, and I don't say it lightly, that could have ended Hogan. Like, that is a leg. If that goes the wrong way, your leg is gone. Like, that looked, but Hogan, I know, don't get me wrong, I know he has his critics, but one thing I've known for, about Hogan is if he goes down, he doesn't go down for no reason, especially like that, and he was in a heap for about 3-4 minutes at least. Mm. He was in a heap. You could see he was in agony. I was like, that's not a good challenge. Going on to Hogan, penalty. Let's just get this one out of the way and talk about the penalty miss. Obviously, end of the first half. And again, shout out to Anderson. He didn't give up on that ball. Every other player apart from Sarkic seemed to have just let it go dead, and he did not give up on it. And fair play to him. Rounded the keeper, got took out. And yeah, what happened. And at that point, I fully committed to it was going to be a 1 or 2-0 Millwall, and they're just going to absolutely, if we're not scoring penalties, I thought it's over. This is going to be a dross second half. They're going to bore it out. Where did you stand on it? Do you think we need a new taker now? Do you think someone needs, you know, step up and just take it properly?
It's one of the things where we don't really have many takers as it is. Like, yeah. You know, we've had this problem for a while. I'm trying to think of like the last good penalty taker that Birmingham had.
Marlon King?
I mean, yeah, like I think maybe Caddis, because he was on penalties for a while. Caddis, wasn't actually. I think that's the last good penalty taker we actually had. It's been a problem for a while now, because I remember for a period of time Donaldson took penalties less than convincing. Jukovic less than convincing. Deeney.
Apart from his one that is still floating in outer space somewhere in the whole round. Like, we'll take that one away. But yeah, Deeney.
Lyle Taylor.
Decent taker, but I guess didn't really have enough penalties to take to be like a proven taker for us.
True.
It's a bit of a small sample size. Because
I love the way he took them, though. I love the audacity of his
cold
penalties.
Cold as ice, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. I was quite surprised that Bakuna didn't take it, to be honest.
He was stood next to it as well. I thought he was
Hogan, Adam, and he was having it. Yeah, I thought he was going to step up.
Well, Stansfield, he's clearly high in confidence.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like
every part of him.
Potential penalty taker.
Yeah. Every part of me wanted Ivan Sundjic to do like a 20-step run up and just thunder it into the corner, like absolutely put his laces for it. He had a good game, by the way. Ivan Sundjic, I thought, again, he just ran ragged. Bielik was phenomenal again. I thought Bielik was fantastic. There was fans beyond me saying Bielik's been crap since the start of the season, and I very nearly turned around and said something, but I let it go. We move. I think everyone had an alright game. I think bad first half, but everyone picked up.
Yeah.
What were you
I think they complement each other well, don't they, Sunic and Bielik?
Yeah.
Sunic against Cardiff was like the old Sunic we had. He was just a headless chicken. I mean, he was playing next to Bakuna. And I think with Bielik, it's like he can do all that running, but Bielik knows like where to be to cover him, whereas Bakuna doesn't. So they really do complement each other well.
Bielik just, he's like that big dad figure in the middle. He's just so calm on the ball. He's just like, it's all right, you do, I've got it, I'm going to stay here. I'm six foot odd.
Composure.
Win every header. Don't worry about it. Like, the amount of headers that man wins from goal kicks is like, it's a joke, isn't it? It's like, don't worry, long, I got this. Bang. Forward again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think good start to a season for us, isn't it, boys? If so, anyone had said to us, at 5 games have gone, you're on 11 points, you're unbeaten in the league, and you scored in every game, I'd be like, what? Are you joking?
Yeah.
Like, I can't fault the start. I think it's going well. I think we're missing that edge a little bit. Yeah. You know, I think one clinical centre forward, and we're pushing well good in this team. I will put my petition out for Johnson Clark-Harris again, because I believe Peter will want to get rid of him now. So if anyone can hear me, please, for the love of God, sign Johnson Clark-Harris. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another talking point, which is not a nice one to have to go into, boys, but we need to get this one out of the way. Potential of one John Eustace going to Rangers. And for the record, it's 7:20 at night on Thursday the 7th, so if anything comes out between now and the podcast coming out, or if he officially stays or anything like that, we don't know at the time. So where do we stand?
I'll leave it on to you, Josh, first.
Yeah, I'm a massive Eustace fan, to be fair. I think when he came in, I wasn't sure about him. I'd not really heard much about him. Knew obviously he'd only really been at Kidderminster, and I was a bit like, what, like why have we gone with Eustace? But since he's coming up, I've really liked him. He's clearly learning with the team. I said, like, as the team grows, you can see him growing as well. Like, he's making different changes with what he's doing. He seems to be learning from his mistakes. Not all of them. Some of them he seems to be stuck with. But, I mean, the Millwall game kind of epitomised it in that first half just didn't work, came out completely different team second half. So he'd spotted the problem and was able to act on it. And I think he's young. The players love him. I mean, I always think of Bakuna in that Bakuna seems to be the type of player that he could be a problem in the dressing room, but he seems to love Eustace. I know at Bristol City away, I noticed that right at the end of the game, Bakuna had gone over to give a shirt to a fan, and Eustace went straight over to him and they were hugging each other. And I remember last season when Eustace was under fire around Christmas and Bakuna scored that free kick at Wigan, went straight to the touchline to hug Eustace. So I think he's clearly got the players on side as well. Mm-hmm. So I really want Eustace to stay. I really like him as a manager. I'd say he's probably the favourite manager I've had since Rower. I know Monk was good, but he had his problems and left. But I think Eustace, as I say, he's a young manager. He's clearly growing with the team. So I'd hate to see him leave.
Sam?
I think you summed up really well there, Josh, the fact that Eustace is growing with the side. And I just think, yeah, he's got the players on side. The camaraderie's there. In my mind, I see no reason to change it. I mean, obviously, it's another question whether Eustace wants to go to Rangers. But I think he's got it so good here at the moment in the fact that, you know, we've had the takeover. The players like him. You know, the fans like him. It's one of them ones where it'd be interesting to see how it pans out. I just hope history doesn't repeat itself like it did in 2016, you know, with Rowett leaving and then Zola coming in and then just a complete depreciation in form. So I'm sure we'll get onto it about who's rumoured to take over Eustace should he leave. But yeah, it's an interesting topic to speak about.
If I hear the name Gianfranco Zola mentioned anywhere near Birmingham City, I'm going to have a fit. I will cry and just go
ballistic. That's the first and last time Jamie mentioned Zola.
Honestly, I can't. I went to actually one of his games that we won. I went to Wolves away that year where we won 2-1 and... Yeah, I was in shock that we actually won. But it's one of them. I've obviously reading Wayne Rooney as a potential replacement, lads. What do we think?
No, not a fan.
I think it's one of those, just a big name, isn't it? They're just trying to get a name in to get publicity, and he hasn't done anything that shows that he's going to be any good. I mean, it could be amazing, but more than likely it's not going to be. This just smacks of the Gary Rowett departure in that he's going and they're just going to bring in a big name who hasn't really got any experience. So I'd stay away from Rooney for sure.
This is a shot in the dark, and I'm going to throw this one. Sorry to cut you up there, Sam.
That's all right.
This is a shot in the dark here. But if we want to play free-flow and attack in football, what's Bielsa doing nowadays?
Uruguay manager.
Oh, is it? All right, yeah. Oh, shut up then. Cool. Otherwise, don't get me wrong, I'd love a Bielsa. Imagine Bielsa.
That'd
aggressive
be
attacking
frantic,
football, though.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I think he brings a lot of problems, though.
He does.
It's so demanding to play that style of football, isn't it? Like, I feel like if we were to sort of properly go with someone like that, you'd need a couple windows to properly like bring in the players that he wants and the players that are going to just run their legs off and that. And yeah, it's a bit of a risky one, but there's been another couple names that I've seen like floated around should Eustace leave, and I don't know what you guys think. I mean, we mentioned it before we got on the podcast, but if they really wanted to aim big, how big could we go? Because yeah,
I mean, look at the managers that are out of a job. There's a few. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want Lampard. Nope, stay away.
I reckon he'll go Saudi Arabia. I could see him going to Saudi Arabia because John Terry's going, isn't he?
Could be. I mean, that's a shout. Big Sam. Just get me Big Sam. Potter's obviously names, I think, been mentioned on a tweet or two by people. Potter wouldn't be a bad shout. I'd like Potter.
That's a very big ask, though, isn't it, for him to sort of come to Birmingham? Because we said, didn't we, that he rejected Lyon right in France. Mm-hmm. And that itself, you know, would be a big job. But a name that I like, actually, someone that's sort of around the Midlands area is Darren Moore. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Oh, actually, that's not a bad show. And I think he was... Weren't he sacked after he got him promoted? Wednesday?
He was sacked from Wednesday due to like wage issues by Chansiri. And he's out of work at the moment. It's obviously someone from Birmingham. I think that's someone that the fans would immediately take to. I mean, obviously, we're thinking about lots of different things here. Like, Eustace is still Birmingham City manager. But, should he leave, I think Darren Moore is someone you could bring in that would understand the club. That's the main thing. Because with someone like Rooney, I just couldn't imagine him getting the club. You know what I mean? Like, he'll have his own ideas on how he wants to play and what he wants to do that I just don't think someone like that the fans would immediately take to.
Yeah. Chris Wilder?
A bit of a controversial one, I think, that is in the fact that, you know, one of the managers you could either love or hate. It could go either way, couldn't it?
And I think we're all sick to death of back five football.
Managers
have kind of been around the block.
Don't want wing backs anymore. Stop with the wing back game. Play actual wingers. Yeah. I do not want to see Siriki Dembele bolting down as a left defender. That's not happening.
No.
Like, no chance. No.
I think the worry for me as well is that if John Eustace was to leave, like as I said, the players seem to be really, really behind him.
Oh yeah, and the dressing room will be a mental.
I don't want to say that players would just down tools, but I think there'd be a bit of like, even the players would be like, what? Why? Why is he?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the players, he's brought the players to play the system that he wants. And he seems to get like Birmingham City football. I think obviously when we had Ratwick, that was very much like Birmingham City football in that it was just hard workers, not super flashy. And I think since then we've had loads of managers that have tried to play almost like ticky-tacky football and it just doesn't work at the Blues. Yet Eustace has come in and tried to implement that at points, realised, okay, that's not the way to go. But he's kind of got the team now, the players that can play that way, but also play the way that we want to play as well. So it's like a mixture of both. So it's like, at the moment, it seems like it's the perfect recipe of we've got a really strong back four, two really defensive midfielders, and then Sunjic who can like get forward as well because he's got the energy, and then the forward line that seem to be staying forward and attacking. And I just worry that if a new manager comes in, tries to change the philosophy, it's just going to go completely wrong.
I mean, we'd need someone attacking and forward thinking, wouldn't we, as a manager? I mean, obviously, we're talking like he's gone already. Hopefully, he's not going to go on personally like I like Eustace.
Yeah,
keeping.
I really hope he stays.
Same. Yeah, we all agree on that, which is nice. But if we are looking for a forward-thinking manager, what about someone like Aitor Karanka?
Forward-thinking?
No, because Sam Cosgrove's gone. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cosgrove. Oh, yeah, on that note, how do we feel about, obviously, Cosgrove? How do we feel about the transfer window in total, boys? Like, how do we feel like it went? Anything
it's a good
you could
window,
work on?
It? Good it's, window.
I'm scared to say I think it's the best transfer window I've seen at the Blues. I can't for the life of me think of one that's gone. I think, yes, we had the Harry Redknapp one where all the we had the big names come in, but that was more, I think that was more hype. Whereas this one, the players were getting, it's like, I like completely see how they fit the system. They're Blues type players. We're getting them on cheap. Like, I think we've actually probably had the best transfer window in England. I think we're definitely up there. Like, in terms of we haven't spent loads. Yeah, we haven't spent loads of money. The players are all good quality, and like even the two that have come in, that Drame and Ayru, like I said earlier, they're on loans with ability to buy. So even though we've got them and we could sign them, if they turn out not to work, well, we can send them back and it doesn't affect us really. So I think we've had a great transfer window.
Considering we've just obviously come off the back of a new ownership, so obviously you're going to be feeling the EFL kind of stipulations, the FFP stuff from previous ownership. I think we've basically, I know some of them are undisclosed fees, so we can't put a proper figure on everything, but I think we basically used Jobe money, Jude money from the Real Madrid sale, and obviously other money coming in.
Chong.
And we haven't, I don't think we've over, yeah, Chong, I forgot about Chong. Other money, like, and we haven't gone over the budget. We haven't, you know, gone stupid. I think losing Cosgrove was probably important because I imagine he was on a big wage. Obviously, it's sad he never really got his chance, but these things happen in football.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work out, and, you know, he's at Barnsley now, and we wish him all the best.
Exactly.
Like,
It's but I'm still going to position third. If we got right, I'm telling you now, when there was 2 hours left of that transfer window and I read Peterborough put a statement out saying we have allowed Johnson Clark Harris to talk to football clubs, if that had happened that night, lads, I would have cried. I would have been so happy. You don't understand. I was
like
ready to have a party.
Plus window there.
I would have been a 10 out of 10. It would have been the best window in history that I've been alive for, like, for Blues.
I think that was almost a bit of a letdown at the end of the window. Like, I was sitting, like, obviously on Twitter, seeing who was coming in and, like, what we were linked with him. And then the Oliver Burke one came in, and I was like, okay, a decent signing, like, good squad depth. And then I read it, and I was like, 13th and final signing. And it was just like, ah. And it was kind of like a balloon, but then I had to like remind myself of no, this has actually been an amazing transfer window. Like, yes, we didn't get that really top striker, but like as you said, we've scored in every game so far this season. And yeah. When is the last time Blues have gone on this many games scoring like in a row?
Like, last season, or maybe not even last season, the Blues of the last couple of years. If you go 1-0 down to Millwall at home against Gary Rowett's team, lads, that's 3-0. That's a GG. Like, we're pushing for it and we're conceding again. Like, there is no way we had the character to miss a penalty and still score a goal back then.
It's that mentality change.
And it's big time. It's that belief. We actually have a bit of belief now where we can go forward. And you've got people like Bakuna playing to where they want to do, and they're threading them nasty through balls in. And you've got someone like Stansfield now who will actually run onto it and hit it first time. Some little clinical bits of football we've got. Back onto Oliver Burke. I think it was a good signing. Don't get me wrong. It was a little bit like, oh, yeah. But I think more than anything, depth, pace, and aggression. Pace, big time as well. We've been screaming about we need pace, more pacey forwards. I mean, Oliver Burke's lightning. Has anyone seen his highlights? He is quick.
We've got a lot of pace now, haven't we? And as you said, we haven't had that in a long time. Options as well, you know, not just like one play we look to. We go, oh yeah, give him the ball and then he could run out wide with it. We've got players all over the pitch that can do it now, and substitutions that we can make to really impact games and that. And I think Burke's going to be a decent player for us. I, as you said, you know, there's a lot of people that were a bit underwhelmed by the signing because of who we were linked with prior to signing Burke. You know, deadline day, you see all the rumours that are swirling around and that, but I think it's one of the things where if we would have signed Burke like 2-3 weeks ago, the fans wouldn't have sort of been as, you know, down about it as what they could have been, you know, with all the names we're being linked with. But I still think it's a decent signing and I think he'll do well.
I think we could have won that game if we had Burke as well. This sounds daft against Millwall, but I think one thing we were screaming for in the last 20 minutes was pace and legs. And I think that was the sad thing, because we obviously, it came in so late in the window, we couldn't register him in time. If that had come through at 4, 5pm, you're laughing. I'd get him on the bench for the next hour and I'd brought him on with half an hour to go and gone front at him.
Same.
Yeah.
They were exhausted towards the end of the game. You could see Millwall just wanted the final whistle as well at one point. They were done.
Yeah. I think a massive one for Burke as well. He's like Stansfield. He can play up front, right wing, left wing, and he can probably play just behind the striker as well. Yeah. Another player that can
different
play multiple
areas.
Positions. Mm. So we can constantly, not just when he comes on, can play that, but switching throughout the game. I said we did that a couple of times against Millwall. Again, not as much as I'd like. I know we did it quite a lot in Plymouth. They were switching, and it just gives the opposition somewhat more to think about. And like, it's working. So again, getting in someone like Burke again on a loan, so we don't have to fully commit to him if we don't want to. But it's another really good signing from Gardner.
I think so. Do you think we're missing depth in any position though now, lads? Or do you think we're just one more centre forward maybe? I think right back I'm happy with. Left back, we've got Longello as a backup. I'm sure one of the new players. I think Dremmer can probably play at left back if he has to. Absolutely has to. Like, we've got enough centre backs now. Do you think we need one more? Like, midfield, I think we're fine.
Left-footed centre-back for me.
Yeah, agree.
I think it's more showing maybe like an issue with quality instead of depth, especially when you look at the striking positions. That's what it is. You know, we've got the players. It's whether they're going to perform for us or not. That's the question, isn't it?
I think so. I think I'd be interested to see maybe, have we got any promising youth products? Maybe bringing one of them in for a bit more bench time. Be interesting now Cosgrove's gone. Or someone like that.
I know that
Dixon
guy.
Free agents.
Dixon. Yeah, he scored a couple of goals. Yeah, he's quite good. I was a bit gutted that Josh Andrews went out on loan. Because I would have liked to see him, but I mean, obviously he's getting more game time now. But
he scored
last weekend,
actually, for Accrington. Yeah,
he scored already. So it'd be interesting to see if we call him back early, maybe from his loan, if we're able to do that. if he comes into the squad. But obviously, we've got the likes of Tyler Roberts when he comes back. I know he was playing more in like the cam role or out on the wing, but he can play up front. So maybe we put him up front. Maybe if he comes back, Stansfield moves further forward. Like, we've got so many options that we can do now. It's not players that are just stuck in fixed positions. They can all chop and change.
I think so. I agree. I think it's so nice to have just that. Just having that bit of option again. Like, it's nice having a bit of a change about. But I agree. I think Stansfield in the actual main striker role would be filthy. I think he's... anyone sees turn against that Millwall defender in the corner, by the way? My days.
Yeah,
absolutely mugged him clean off right into the box. He was like... even in the first half, I said it, I was like, if anyone's putting an effort and a shift in it, it's him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to chase down the ball. He's trying to get
himself about, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, he's a good player. I can't believe... you can see why 12 Championship teams wanted him before he came to us. Like, and that's another thing, if Eustace goes, everyone's signed up to the project with Eustace, and I worry that the squad is going to just struggle a little bit. The dressing room's going to fall apart. I hope he doesn't.
It's a real worry, isn't it? Just want it cleared up as soon as possible.
And coming into, obviously, an international break, like we said, and the last point we'll talk about is Watford away, lads. How do we feel about that?
Been a bit of a tricky ground for us to play at in recent years, isn't it? I can't remember us winning at Watford in a very long time.
Did I read a stat the other day saying we haven't scored there for a long time?
Yeah. The stats that keep on appearing about Watford away, it's just, you know, one of the things where if it was going to happen any season for us to sort of break this duck, it's going to be this season, isn't it? The way that we're playing at the moment. I'd love a good away day at Watford, you know, the fans getting them all up and, hopefully get towards those automatic places, because I know, like, pressing the top of the league at the moment, who would have expected that? This Championship season, I think it's going to be really topsy-turvy with, you know, the teams that have come down from the Premier League. You look at last week, the fact that all three relegated teams from the Premier League didn't even score, and there's only one point between the three of them. So it's going to be a really open Championship season. I just hope we can be that team that, you know, nobody expects to be there, that can just break through.
Just do it, just push top six. I'm just getting stats through sent to me now. 2009 was the last time we won at Watford, and 2011 was the last time we scored at Watford. Chris Wood in a 2-2 draw, followed by Jerome 1-0 in 2009. We need to break that duck at some point, boys, and I'm hoping this Blues team have it about them. Watford, inconsistent this season. They're trying to do things differently. They had a 3-3 against Cov, didn't they? And did you see the own goal they scored? Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not good.
18th with one win, they are. But how Blues would it be? You know, the pessimistic Blues fan that I've gotten accustomed with being is telling me that they're going to turn up and remember how to play football, and it's going to be like 4-0 Watford. But
the thing is, though, the pessimistic Blues fan was me watching that Millwall game on Saturday when we missed the Hogan penalty, thinking that's game gone. But in that game, you know, we come back and actually got a point, which is something that I'm not used to seeing. So this Blues team, you know, hopefully will keep on surprising us so we can get all 3 points at Vicarage Road.
I think so, and Keenan Davis ain't there anymore.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
likes to score against us, doesn't he?
Last season, I was there when he scored against us, giving it to the fans. Not good.
Well, you know, these things happen in football. But I agree with this. I'm gonna say in my optimistic Blues style, I'm gonna say that I think we can actually go and win 2-1.
I'm thinking 3-1. I don't know why, but I'm really confident about this game. I just think we could get amongst them and really, you know, put them on the back foot, because, you know, you know what the away fans are going to be like. They're going to be in full voice. And I just think Watford as a club at the moment, you know, it's in a bit of a steady, like, you know, decline because of what's happened with the Premier League. You know, players they got in, Valerian Ishmael there, not exactly convincing as Watford manager. The fact they've lost João Pedro and Ismail Assar, not really replaced them as well. You know, I think Watford, they're in a real sort of turbulent time at the moment. I think we can capitalise on that. So I'm going 3-1 Blues, optimistic.
Interesting. I think we're going to win 1-0. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. I think Ethan Laird, well, hoping that Laird and Dembele are back. I'm going to go, 1-0. Bakuna goal. That's what I'm going for. We're going to hit him on the... Bakuna's going to be on the end of it. Yeah.
Nice little bit of Baka magic.
Yeah, definitely.
Little Japanese Berbatov setup, yeah? That's what we want, isn't it, lads?
Definitely. Like to see him start, to be fair.
I know, I couldn't believe he didn't start, actually, against Millwall. I was like, It's hard to drop Bakuna, though, isn't it? And it's hard to drop Anderson when he's playing well. And Stansfield had to start after that last game. So you can see, obviously, yeah, someone had to be dropped. But actually, yeah, that's an interesting point. What about someone like Miosh up front? What would you say for that? Or do you think that's a no-no?
I'd push Stansfield forward, put Miosh in behind him.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
I think we're still trying to figure out his best position at the moment, aren't we? Just sort of like moving him around that front four to see where he works best.
Yeah. It's nice to have a left-footed attacker like that, though, as well. Like,
yeah.
And he's just so classy on the ball. Anyway, I'm going to stop before this turns into an hour-long session of why Jamie is with Kojo Miosha. Because it will happen. But yeah, I think that's everything, lads, unless there's anything else you just want to bring up or talk about.
No, we're all good, I think.
So cool, yeah. So that's season 4, episode 6, lads, of the Blues Focus podcast. Obviously, please follow us on all socials, which will, I'm assuming, pop up and be in the description of the pod. And yeah, I've been Jamie Lawler, that's been Sam, and that's been Josh, and we will catch you next time. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Social Podcast Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.